Take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. Ooh, it's mighty bright. I can't see anybody. I'll just trust that you're out there. I got a little riddle here for you. One word that summarizes the simplicity of responding to God. We can summarize it, narrow it down to this one single thing. And yet within that word, it encapsulates everything that we believe and really is the summarization of our entire religion. Trust. Okay, surrender. Faith. So trust is right. That was like the right answer, but the word that I was looking for is faith. Now when you think about it, what does someone have to do? They have to believe. They have to put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's, you know, what we look at Acts in terms of the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? The simple answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we talk about our statement of faith. It's all that we believe. And we put down the things that we truly believe. And in some sense, the scripture talks about this, that the entirety of Christianity is called the faith. And we find this here for us in a similar type way. All of these meanings coming together in chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Whenever you're doing a Bible study, you're saying, okay, I want to know not just the truths of these words, but I want to see the connection to those words. When you see the aspect of a word, you want to look at it and say, have we seen that word before? And this aspect here of we could stop with my brethren and we could look at that. I don't know if there's too much to be brought up, but that phrase itself can kind of be something that helps negotiate new topics or at least an advancement in the thought. And so I think it's a good place to put a chapter division here because he's going to start into a new subject, but it's connected with what we've seen before. But the word I want to focus in on here is the word faith. Have we come across that word faith before in James chapter 1? Verse 3, and I believe, unless I overlook something, that is the only place that it's used so far. He says, so it takes us back to the very heart of what we're dealing with. He says, when you're in trials, in diverse temptations, these things are coming upon you, and that's where they were living. It wasn't theoretical. This church was experiencing it. He's saying that these things are the trying of your faith. And so an aspect of having the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the core of who we are as believers. It means that we're putting our trust in Jesus Christ, not just at a moment in time. Yes, we did, but that's a continuation throughout our lives. I love the way that the Bible talks about this. I think it was in, I don't remember exactly. It was in my Bible reading, but it says, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, we have come underneath the wings of Almighty God, and we are staying in that shelter. We are standing on this rock because we are believing Him. We are trusting Him. This is what the Christian faith is all about, and it should be the daily experience of our lives is faith. That we're not basing it off of our own experiences. We're living life by what we see. We live not by sight. We walk not by sight. We saw this a couple Sundays ago, but we walk by faith. And so there's this call to have the entirety of our lives should be penetrated at every point, every activity, everything we do, every check we sign, every word we say, every person we interact with ought to have mixed into that relationship and that activity our faith, our dependence on our God, on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But I want us to look at this a little bit more in depth here because it says, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could have said it this way, have not the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, And that would have clarified where the object of our faith is. What is the rock you're standing on? What are you trusting in? What's your basis of belief? And we would say, it is nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about my life, whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell, is going to ride on Him and His character and His Word. If He is what He said He is, and His Word is as true as the Bible says it is, then I'm safe and secure because I put my trust in Him. And so that's a great comfort to me, that it doesn't ride upon me or the quality of my faith or the quality of my life. In that sense, it rides on Him. And I can trust Him. I can't trust me, but I can trust Him. And so I have great joy about that. But what I want to make here, the point is, when it says the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that word "of" is like the Swiss Army knife of Bible words. Because that word "of" can be used in all different ways. It's one of the most general connections that says, this word is connected to this word. Go figure it out. And it's by context. And we're so good, many times we don't even think about it and we don't realize that the relationships of words that are going on, but we just automatically process it right away. Sometimes we can narrow that meaning somewhat, but I think what's going on here is it can mean that our faith is in Jesus Christ, and I think that certainly is what the faith is. It's always faith in Jesus. But there is such a connection of the faith to Jesus that whenever someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, what kind of faith do they have? If you were to analyze it and diagram it and slice it up, and obviously you can't do that with faith, but just in my analogy, you know whose faith you would find out, who's the stamp on every part of your faith? You would find out it belongs to the Lord. Your trust in God is nothing less than Jesus' trust in God, that He lived His life. Now, we don't necessarily always see the example of that, but I believe at every part in his life, he was trusting God, that he lived a life of faith. But we certainly see that when we come to the cross. When he quotes a statement on the cross that says, "Into thy hands commit my spirit." That's a summarization of the entirety and totality of his life, because he was heading his entire life to that moment. He was trusting his Father, and when that moment came, he gave himself to the Father. And so that, you see the connection that takes place? When I'm called upon to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust him in a trial, he is not asking me to do anything other than what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done. He is the source of my faith. The only faith I have is what is imparted to me from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he possesses that. There is what we call in Scripture, it's called the union of the believer with Jesus Christ. So that his life is my life. His resurrection is my resurrection. His faith is my faith. He says, you've been united with the Lord. You have a life and an experience of faith that unites you with the God-man, the Son of God. And he says, I don't want you to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he emphasizes the Lord of glory. All right, so that's worthy of stepping back and saying, huh. He's emphasizing, now you'll see that the word Lord is in italics, but it is pulling out that title before Jesus. And we might just think, oh, that's the three names of Jesus, like Benjamin Thomas Heffernan. No, his name was Jesus, and then probably Bar, son of Joseph. Bar Joseph might have been, you know, full extended name, but that's not given to us in Scripture. So Christ means he's the Messiah. Lord is something to do with his title, his position. And when you go back to the beginning of chapter 1, verse 1, he says he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I went through this and I began to examine. If you call out to God in prayer in verse 5, you're calling on God. But then, if you do not do it in faith, he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, he could be referencing to God the Father as Lord, because he would be worthy of that title as well. But I do believe that the distinction that's made here through the epistles is that when the reference to the Lord is mentioned, that Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who's meant. So when you call upon God, it's really the Lord who blesses you. He's the Lord of glory. So when we put this together, this was the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked in this position of humility and depending upon God at every hand. It really makes me think about Philippians chapter 2, where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make equal with God, to be equal with God, but humbled himself, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see this coming down, down, down. You start with him being in the fullness of who God is, and he comes all the way down to death, even a cross-like death, the worst kind of death you could have. That was him humbling himself. That was him doing that in faith towards God. And it says, wherefore God hath highly exalted, super exalted him. He did all of that in faith that God would step in and be intervening, giving him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This lordship aspect is what he has been exalted to because of his suffering and death, because of his faith. So when you call upon the Lord and you're here in faith saying, God, please help me. He's a God of richness, a God of glory, a God of wealth who wants to meet your need and see you through your trial. It's interesting, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who is the rewarder of those who go through temptations and trials and come out on the other side. And so this ought to bolster our faith. Ought to encourage us and lift us up and say, he's the one who's been exalted to the place of glory. But I don't like this word next that comes in the text. He's the Lord of glory. He says, have not the faith with. There are some things that are not compatible with the faith of this glorious Lord. It brings down, it soils the faith. It soils the glory. It demagnifies the lordship of Jesus Christ. He said one of these things is what the Bible calls respect of persons. And I'm debating whether we... I think we'll get into it more, but let's just summarize it here. Verse 2 and 3. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment... You can see that everything's on the externals here, right? But based on their clothes, you can tell what kind of person they are. And he says, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That's the idea of happy. They're doing well off. And you say, oh man, here are the padded pews for you. Oh, come up here. We have this row reserved in the back. Just for you. Everyone's fighting over this one. But we saved it for you. And then you say to the poor man, it's interesting, oftentimes the Bible loves to capture the character of somebody by the words that they use. It quotes their very words to show. I think that's ultimately how God is going to judge us in the last day. He's going to say, this is what you said. And it's our words that reveal our heart. And he says, this is what you say to the poor. Stand thou there. I'm sorry, standing room only. We don't have room for you. Or you say, well, actually, No, if you sat right there, I could prop my feet up on you. And you could be my, we got a place for you. Actually, come down here. And I can prop up my feet. You're my footstool. So what would make someone treat people differently based on the amount of money that they have? That's what the Bible talks about. You treat someone differently because they have money and they don't. What makes us do that? Well, I didn't hear it. Pride, okay. Maybe there's an aspect. Selfish, how's that work in terms of selfish? The love of money? Well, they got the money, I don't got it. Offering. Oh yeah, we want the, yeah, it's a great day for a collection. So, okay, you guys are on the right thing, but I want us to think through this a little bit. There's an aspect that we're hoping that if you do something kind for them, they will do something good for us. You see how selfish that is? I am treating people on the basis of how I can be treated in return. And this person, I know, I don't even need to waste my time with them because I know they can't do anything for me. That is a complete inward self-focus rather than an outward loving focus towards others. And so ultimately you can see why he says this diminishes the Lord of glory. And we're going to find out why that is the case. He's going to go through this and help us to understand why this is such a problem to have a respect of persons. All right, I'm going to finish it there. And we'll be dismissed. And we'll get out some awards here. All right.
Okay, well, we've got...